The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. Kip Kiefer with you at the usual time, first of the week on Monday. It is time for everything you need to know. And today we're going to do a little bit different kind of a program because what we have for you today is information and really kind of an alert for everybody out there who needs to pay more attention. And I'm a prime candidate for this group taking care of themselves and their health. And just a lot of invaluable information. I'm honored today to have my dear friend and colleague, Gary Wilson, a.k.a. The Legend from the Paul Feinbaum Show. He's a superstar on a lot of our other broadcasts, and we're proud to have him on our team. Legend's going to step into my seat here and talk to you today, and our special guest, who I'm going to get out of the way and let him take charge and introduce a man that we're honored to have on the show today. So, Legend, it's all yours. Please indulge us. We're not Hollywood switching to another camera. I'm going to get up, and he's going to sit down.
Thank you, Kip. I appreciate sitting in the great Kipper's chair today. And with me today on a very special need to know is a great friend of mine. You know him as the 2025 Paul Feinbaum Caller of the Year, Mr. I-Man. I know him as a great friend of mine, Rusty Garner. Rusty, welcome to the show today, brother. Thank you so much for being a part of it.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me. And, you know, I'm here. Let's say, you know, open conversation, no holds barred.
Well, brother, we appreciate you doing this. And this is a little different for me and you. Everybody knows us as the zany characters on the great Paul Feinbaum Show. But today we're going to talk serious about something that everybody out there needs to listen closely to. I-Man, who has been a great friend of mine for many years now, some time ago, he found out that he is facing a challenge much greater than the Alabama defense, than the Auburn defense, much greater than Coach DeBoer or Coach Freeze. I-Man, won't you tell the people the battle that you are facing this morning?
Well, first off, you take advantage of what the defense gives you.
Ha ha, Black Hat brother, I like it.
You know, my hip was hurting, left hip. I went to the doctor. They thought, you know, hip turned out had bone cancer, turned into stage 4 bone cancer with prostate cancer. And, you know, you hear that word, and the word cancer is enough to shake you to your roots. But I listened to the doctor. He said, not curable, but treatable. And I trust my doctor, and I listened to him. But there's so much more to this than just the treatments and those kind of things. You have the pills, you have the chemo, you have the radiation, but you know, there's the part that you don't prepare yourself for is where you are financially and the way your life has been structured and you know, the effect that your contribution to the family and the household has, how that affects things. And are you prepared? Because if you're dealing with a health issue like this, so many times, once the word cancer comes up, you're not going to get a lot of people that's going to have a long conversation with you. And anything that you may be able to get, the prices can go through the roof if you can afford it. So there's a financial crisis. You have the emotional crisis. There's so many things you're dealing with outside of just the cancer itself. And you know, that to me has been the more devastating part. You know, trying to. Go ahead.
How did you feel, you know, What was something you could have done to prevent this, Ironman? As you look back on it, what is something, you know, everybody, we all put off going off to the doctor. I put it off for years. Others have put it off for years. Was there a time in your life that some a voice inside of you said, let's go to the doctor, and you ignored it? Was it something you could have done to prevent this?
I couldn't have prevented this, but I will say this. Back before all the insurance companies got busted and had to rewrite programs, I had great health insurance through my wife's job. And you know, that's something that she'd been working for and we'd been paying for 20 plus years. Then all of a sudden, all those policies went out the window, and it is what it is. And basically, her company said, well, with the cost of the insurance, you either get a paycheck or you get insurance. And of course, you got to go with the paycheck. But there's so many people around the country that had that same situation. And as much as it helped people, it totally hurt some other people. So that the numbers were about the same. They just flipped who had and who didn't have. And even the people that didn't have were covered to a point. But that changed because I'm not one for running up into the doctor's office, but because most of the time you suck it up, goody powder or something like that, and you move on, and it's gone in a day or two. I've been healthy pretty much my whole life, unless I got injured that I was dealing with a doctor. And so it got to the point that, you know, you can't afford insurance. And so I finally got to the point that I could sign up for Social Security. And at that point, I was able to get in with the Medicare and all of that. And that's, I finally got health insurance this past summer. And as I was looking at that, I decided you get plans A and B. And I decided to go with a step above on the G plan, which is the surgical stuff and doctors. And then I went with a plan D and for the medications and prescriptions. And I just got lucky on those, you know, because I just made the decision, well, this is kind of quote free money. I'm not used to having this extra. So let me just go on and put a little bit on that. And that has probably been one of the biggest surprises when we get back into the insurance and talking, you know, it was just a kind of a one of the moments where you say, "Ooh, you know, at least I got this." You've got some pictures there, and you know, unless it's something that just really taking you onto the edge, nobody goes to the doctor unless they just have to. And this was one of the moments where I had to go. I couldn't walk. I mean, I had tears in my eyes. I thought worst hip replacement hit. But
you are looking at a picture right now of Ironman's body that displays the cancer right now in his body and shows the tremendous battle our great brother is battling at the moment. Ironman, the picture is up. Explain to the people what they're looking at, what's going on in your body right now.
Okay, what they did, I went in and had an IV and I had to drink some liquids and this radioactive type stuff. And the scan was to show where the bone, they were scanning the bones. And because the prostate's one thing, the bone cancer is something else. All right. When you're looking at that scan, you can identify the kidneys and the little lines that come on down towards the your thighs. That's where a lot of the radioactive stuff is kind of stored. Why they're doing this, because the rest of it's flowing through your body. Now, all the little spots you see, that's bone cancer. That's my rib. Oh, my. That's all my ribs. That's my spine. You see places up near the top of my shoulders and on my head. You see them down my hips. I mean, you see some well-defined vertebrae in there. And all of that stuff is taking place, and you don't even know it. You don't know it. And as I look at all, that's where most of my pains come from, because it can be any of them that just fire. I mean, it's once it's in the bones, they can do something with the radiation. They can target different things, but as many places as you see, they have to put those little targets in there so they can get the radiation precise. And there's just no way to do all that with that many places, you know. The only treatments I've had so far are the chemotherapy and then the drugs they give me. And I take them, was taking them two a day, twice, four pills in the course of a day, two in the morning, two in the afternoon. Now I'm on another drug that's just two in the morning. And because I started losing weight, I lost about 35 pounds and they wanted me to try something else. So this is where we're at now. But yeah, the radiation is so much that they just felt like it wouldn't do any good. And it's not going, it can't get any worse. I mean, it's already everywhere. So, you know, it is what it is. And I say this when, you know, when you face that kind of adversity, you know, you can't change it. And I don't want to say you have to roll with it. But what I did was I've always been one for slowing things down, even in argumentative situations. You have to have your emotions in check. Somebody's got to be responsible. And so I didn't get wound up and have a pity party. This, you know, what about me and how me and all that kind of stuff. I just thought I'd listen to what the professionals had to say because that's their job. And I have a confidence in my doctor. And, you know, I just said, yeah, this is what we're going to do. And but yeah, when I saw the scans, I had no idea what stage four meant. I had no idea when they say it's all over your body, what that meant. But when I see those scans, it's obvious that's what it means. And this stuff is taking place and you don't even know it. And that, you know, I want to stress that to every man out there, if you live long enough, you will face a prostate conversation. It's just, it's going to happen. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And a simple test can kind of guarantee you with what the doctor's doing. I know there's a lot of people that don't want to spend the money at doctors because doctors can be crazy. Here in Montgomery, there's a doctor offering, because of erectile dysfunctions, you can come into his office for $100. You can be checked out and you can be, you know, given a prescription for those products for that. But he also includes a free PSA test. I mean, go take advantage of that PSA test, because that's the starting point of what they can see. If you're getting up at night, having to go to the bathroom once or twice, that's the beginning of your prostate enlarging. So things are taking place from that point on, and it just goes from there. And ever how much attention, it alters everything.
Do you feel let down by the insurance company? I heard you say you lost your insurance. Do you feel like the insurance companies in America, because I know my mama really didn't get the help, the doctor she needed until she was sick and past the point of help?
No, I don't think insurance companies, the insurance companies have always done what they do. If they can deny you a claim or stall a claim, if you're correct, you will eventually get that claim. And I certainly don't want to make this kind of a political thing, but when they came in and changed the care that was taking place, what that did was that forced all of the insurance companies, and it also allowed the insurance companies to take the current policies that were so competitive with one another for them and their business to rewrite everything. And once they rewrote everything, it really changed it to where it's maybe a better advantage for them to be competitive in the business they're in. It did not help me at all. And I just got caught up in the cracks of politics and the increase in prices that everybody's going through, you know. I don't know if it's this point. It's just, you know, I just looked at it. It's just the way it is, you know.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. This is something somebody asked me the other day that they really wanted to know. And I think it's really important. When you found this out, what was the conversation like with your family? And what can family members do when they hear this that makes it better for you? Because I know a lot of times you probably get tired of people saying, oh, man, I feel so bad or this, you know. How can they handle that situation, and how did you handle it when it came to your family?
Well, when it came to me, I just thought, well, you know, it's going to be interesting. Let's see. And when I finally got the results, I told my wife that I had stage 4 bone cancer and that they were going to do some tests. And I told her, you know, it is what it is. Just don't worry. And I think a lot of their reaction is maybe what you're presenting to them. And it's, seriously, I'm not trying to be a hero or anything. I'm not extra courageous. This is just my personality. And I just let them kind of know that this is what we're going through. And I don't think that they treat me any different than they did before. I hope not. I know they have their concerns because we actually have a good family and the concerns for one another. But I do believe, and I told them this, it's treatable. It's not curable. And so I could live another 8-9 years. I'm 68 years old. So you give me, I've already lived longer than 2/3 of the people that's ever walked on this planet.
Amen.
And so something's going to get you. You don't want to hear that word, the cancer word, but I think that they're handling it well.
For somebody in that same situation, how would you tell them to approach a loved one?
You just look at them and you're talking about somebody that's definitely in your life. You just look at them and you tell them. Maybe include some of your thoughts as you're getting to the message and hope that everybody's strong, because that's what you got to be. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no worries. You just pray. Like I said in the beginning, I think the cancer and the illness part, we're all going to have something. It's just, what are you prepared for right now? What have you looked at as far as your retirement, your all of your bills, how you've got it set up? Are you living week to week? Are you... those are the kind of things that we talked about. I was self-employed all these years, about 45 years. And about 20 years ago, I just decided to start, you know, let's knock out all these little bills, get rid of credit cards, anything that we don't need, anything that we can pay off. And that has kind of worked out best for me because I don't have all those little things. Although I do have, 5 other people that I help financially. I mean, it's the preparation of where you're at. Do you have insurance? You know, are you in some kind of physical shape to keep a job? Those are the things that we've basically talked a lot about. You know, where I used to go and cut the grass and mow it and then do the weed eating and, you know, the fence line, the trimming the bushes, all that. I enjoy that. And when I pull up in the afternoon, it just gives me a real fresh kind of feeling about going home. And I could do that in about 4 hours. Right now, I have to do that in stages throughout the week, you know. And I could get my son or somebody to do it. I enjoy doing it. I'm like you. I'm one of these weird people. I enjoy work and I love my job. You know, I love being busy, and this has really slowed me down. Maybe some going into the body part of it. A year ago, my body has totally flipped upside down. The weakness, the strengths that I had, the stability. It's just like it's all gone. I have to really think about when I'm walking and when I'm stepping off curb, you know. I've actually fallen 3 or 4 times, and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, your knee just buckles. There's no strength. It's not like you can prepare yourself. You know how you kind of catch yourself and a lot of that stuff disappears.
As you look towards the future here, what is the plan going forward as far as medication and treatment?
Right now, there's no radiation figured for me because of all those different spots. So I'll just be pretty much taking the cancer drug, and I do take a calcium supplement and pain pills.
What kind of pain pills they have you on?
Right now, I'm taking one every 12 hours, 30 milligrams of morphine. And then I have another pain pill that's 10 milligrams of oxycodone that I take if the pains start peaking during that 12-hour period. And I don't take them any more than I have to. The problem with the drug, I've never been one for pills and those kind of drugs. The addiction issues, if you're having to take them as long as I have to take them, at some point those pills are going to be a problem. And the side effects of those pills, not just the addictions, but I mean, the way your body functions, I mean, it changes a lot. And I tell you what, no holds barred, right?
Amen.
I'd never had any kind of constipation issues and stuff like that. And you better believe when these people are talking about the drugs on TV and they give their that real fast speech, those people don't want those words mentioned, but they have to mention them because those are side effects of taking those pills. And I tell you, the constipation and stuff like that can be more of an experience than you've ever been through.
Towards the end of my mother's life, she was taking pills to counteract the other pills she was taking for the side effects of the other pills.
Yeah.
So are the side effects kind of worse than the actual pain at times?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I actually feel the prostate pain, but the bone pain, it is serious. And it goes from being doable. Of course, I've got a high tolerance for pain, but it goes from being doable to where I will have to take that second pill during the day sometimes. And if I cannot take it, I don't take it. But the side effects are you're fighting side effects of side effects of side effects. And a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about right now are strictly side effects. You know, when you're the bowel movements of your body, the strength, the weaknesses, the stability, all those kind of things are a side effect of the chemotherapy as well as the pills. The chemo just comes in and strips everything. And, you know, when you lived as long as I have, I mean, you built up pretty good immune. So here I am back starting at square one, I guess, you know, trying to rebuild an immune system that it's got to be done. I mean, I got a wall, all those kind of things.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Someone asked me the other day, what was the over and under on me and my life? I said, well, about 18 and a half. So yeah. I went way over. What was the over and under in a wild man, I-Man's life, the rock and roller I-Man back in the day? What was the over and under?
Well, my stepmother, bless her heart, the savage person that she was, she thought that I'd be dead or in prison by the time I was 18, 19 years old. And I will say this, I never had a really good relationship with that lady for whatever reason. I don't know why she was as cruel as she was to a bunch of kids. It had nothing to do with anything, but I was a pallbearer at her funeral, hers, not mine. And, 18, 19. And then you figure in doing the band thing, traveling day and night, 24 hours a day. I mean, anything could happen when you're out there on the highway, and the drinking and the drugs and all that kind of stuff. I was able to avoid that because I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't looking for the party. I wanted to play music. If I wasn't playing music, I was doing the construction aspect of my life, which is basically heating and air conditioning and plumbing. I was licensed in all of that and still am. You know, I was able to do that, and it's a lot of travel because I'd go work anywhere in the state. If you called me, I'd go, you know, if we had a meeting of the minds, then we worked. But yeah, anything can happen when you're out there exposed to the world like that. And I figured it'd catch me at some point, but I never spent a lot of time really dwelling on dying or anything.
God's been good to both of us, hasn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, where I'm sitting at right now was so far from any dream that I may have had. I've had opportunities that I created myself. I wasn't some kid to come along entitled for any reason whatsoever. I mean, I just, my grandparents raised me, and as tough as that was, what my grandmother did was she taught us how to work, how to begin a job, the middle of the job, and the end of the job. And once that finally sank in, I've never been without a job.
You know, as you go forward now.
Oh, I'm way over the odds, you know, like you.
Me and you both. We both could praise the Lord on that one, couldn't it? If it all ended today, we'd be good, wouldn't it? We'd be good.
When this conversation first came up, I thought it in my mind that I wanted you to do this because you and I are just two regular guys. And there is notoriety out here because of the Feinbaum Show? Absolutely. And once I saw that picture, that scan, I mean, immediately it went in my mind, all these really high profile, prestigious people that showed up for like a press conference. We have an ex-president who has got prostate cancer. They said it was advanced. And then all of a sudden that conversation went away. And
they sure did.
We see these other people on TV and they come in. And of course, these are all high profile people with high profile insurance and means. And so they're kind of in and out. And I thought, no way. I want everybody to understand, just us good old guys out here, this is the way it affects our life. And those people are covered. You know, it's people like me and you and the people that will listen to this, just regular, hardworking, blue collar people and some. Everybody's included in this, but this is where you're at when this conversation starts. You know, where do we go from here? How do we pay the bills? I'm very fortunate at my age and with this, I'm working for a company that has just been over backwards to make sure I'm okay. If I'm able to come to work, I come to work. If it gets to the point that I feel like I can't do it and I need to go home, hey, go home. We'll see you in the morning. And they have really been over backwards with me, and they've adjusted my workload and the things that I do. You know, I'm fortunate that way. But the average family out there, if you're taking an income out of that family this day and time, you're going to have to restructure some things. And you know, the people that you have calling you and mailing you, they're not going away. They're doing their job, and that's the unfortunate side of it.
I heard you mention the doc in a box. Don't be afraid to go there. What did you mean by that?
All right, you have the little Primed places on the corner, and some people look at that as, let's go get a stitch or two, and maybe I need my regular doctor. But that's where I went because I didn't have a primary doctor because I didn't have the insurance for all those years. And so I went up there and said, man, my hip's killing me. I mean, I was in tears. And that's when they sent me for the scan. And I tell you what, when I went back and he told me the stage four, I mean, it was completely, completely professional. I mean, they lined me up like I had walked into the major surgeon's office. All right, here's what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. They took care of every step. They made all the appointments. All I had to do was fill out the paperwork and agree to be there. Don't be afraid of those people because those are real live for real doctors too. They just happen to have this place over here that they're working two or three of them go in together and create another business. I mean, those guys got loans and stuff they've got to pay. They're working around the clock as well. And my experience, I've always had good results every time I've been to one. And this one is just, you would think that would be out of their hands, No, this was right in the catcher's mitt, dude. I mean, they caught that and threw the guy out still in second. I mean, I was blessed, you know.
We have about 2 minutes left. Now, I'd just like for you to take that. If you were speaking to a crowd of just regular Joes like me and you this morning, what would you say in closing to people, Iron
Man? I'd say, you know, if most of the time we walk things off and we shake them off, for one, because the pain is tolerable, we've done this before. The next thing is, you do start talking about things going to the doctor being a little pricey and that kind of thing, because it is. But there comes a point in time that you really need a professional opinion. And any way that you can possibly do it, go do it. And you know, even if it comes down to setting up your own GoFundMe or PayPal or whatever you do that, don't be afraid to ask for help. Macho and ego is put a lot of people in the cemetery, and go to somebody you trust. And it may not be somebody you like, but at least they may have knowledge, and ask for it. You know, and you know, don't be afraid to ask for help, because right now, if it hadn't been for the contributions that people have helped me with financially, I'd be completely upside down. I mean, completely. And we're talking about having worked and you paid bills for all these years and then come down to something like this and then losing everything because you don't have the full-time ability. And I mean, I'm just fortunate that I did pay attention to a lot of that stuff, but so many people don't have that opportunity that I had because they get paid Monday through Friday. I mean, you know, Friday. I got paid Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever, and I was able to address a lot of situations. I've never been rich or anything. I've never been on a cruise or anything like that. I'm just living a simple life. But I'd say, you know, when it comes to point in time that you really feel like you're hurting that bad, go see somebody. And the doc in the box, no disrespect meant, is about the most affordable place to go start. And trust them. You know, trust your doctor, get your instincts. If you need another opinion, get another opinion. But I would encourage you to do this because the pains and the way my body has changed. If you can avoid this, avoid it because you don't want this. I'm telling you, you do not want this. It's all
too man.
Quite a bit.
Go ahead.
No, I'm
too. Man, I thank you so much for your honesty this morning. I thank you so much for your friendship, brother. I love you, man. I appreciate, you know, you doing this. And, hey, I love that black hat, bro. I love the black hat. Black Hat Brothers for life, man. And we're going to be doing some more things in the future to get the word out there. And I just thank you so much, man, for what you're doing. And, man, we're here for you. Any way we can help you, you know, just call us at any time. We're here for you.
I appreciate it. And just so everybody knows, I'm the one that kind of brought this legend to do this because I want people to know, unlike these other leaders hitting and missing and going on about their life, I want people to understand that this is what's happening. And I didn't keep a diary, but I did. I've kept a lot of people informed on Twitter kind of day to day. This is what you're looking at. And I want you to know what to expect. And please, if you can avoid this, avoid it. And I thank y'all so much for y'all's time and professionalism and the way y'all responded. And I tell you, any way I can help do anything, I don't care. If y'all want to march on the SEC official's office, let's do it today.
We may do that. We may do that, sir.
A better march. But yeah, I appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Iron Man. This is Iron Man on Need to Know with the legend. Thanks to Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. Need to Know, Iron Man facing the battle that we all may face one day. And the message is, go get checked, man. Stop putting the pain off with the BC powder. Go get checked. Man, I'll talk to you soon, brother. Love you, man.
I love you too, dude. Y'all, thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.